It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live in Kansas City, Missouri. We hope that everybody's having a great day out there. I'm joined by Austin O'Neill, producer extraordinaire here at Racing Boys. Austin, how you doing today, bud? You doing all right?
Not too bad.
Hey, I just want to let people see our new mascot here. Hang on a second. So here we go. The new mascot here at Racing Boys. This is, we named this little girl Bristol after the races this last weekend, and she's a hoot. She's a little golden doodle for people out there. I don't know if anybody's ever seen a golden doodle before, but they're pretty good dogs. It's a long-haired golden retriever and a poodle mix, and she is a handful. She's only about 10 weeks old, so we're gonna probably put her down here a little bit, but she is just a sweetheart, aren't you, huh, Bristol? So this is the new mascot here at Racing Boys. Austin, what kind of dog do you have? Tell me about your dog.
Yeah, our dog Barkley, he's a Havanese. It's a Cuban dog.
What makes it Cuban?
I always remember it's a Cuban, the dog's from Cuba, I guess.
The breed.
The breed, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. It's from like Cuba, and they've, migrated him, into the United States, and he just turned 5, actually, on Saturday, so.
Have you had him since he was a pup?
Yep, we got him. So his birthday's in September, we got him in November, it was right. So I always remember we got him the weekend Martin Truex won his first Cup championship, or uh-huh. only Cup championship. So
yeah,
he was about the same age as your dog. So we've had him since about 8-10 weeks, and he's a good dog. He doesn't bark. He growls at the cat sometimes when the cat annoys him. But besides that, he's a quiet dog. He funny story about him. He loved to go to the races. So when we first got him, first 2-3 years of his life is when we raced micros, and right. He loved going to Sweet Springs and the micro races. Loved it. He would sit up there.
The noise never bothered him.
Never bothered him. He would sit up there on the fence end of three with everybody and just sit there and watch the races. And we took him to some stock car races. Wasn't a fan of it. Took him to sprint car races. Definitely wasn't a fan of sprint cars.
Too loud.
Yeah, and I figured you know. The micros, I mean, they're loud, but they have that high pitch, sound. When they're turning
right
16,000-17,000 RPM,
you would think micros would bother them worse than the sprint cars, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it doesn't. So it's kind of interesting. He hasn't been to a race here in a while, so we'll have to get him back out. But we have a cat too. He's 2 years old. His name's Max. Named him after Max.
What kind of cat is the cat?
He's just a cat. Just a cat, short hair cat.
Yeah.
We named him after Maxim chassis, which is our sprint car chassis that we run, and him and the dog are best friends.
All right. So if you see my dog chewing on this coffee table up here, let me know, because those two little coffee tables are the most precious thing that I own for my mom. So, and I caught him trying to chew on it yesterday, so that wasn't a good deal. So we can't have that. I'm kind of a little curious on Black Golden Doodle. Well, that's just what it is, Marie. I can't explain it to you. I don't know how to explain it to you, but it's just black. And it was so funny, Austin. We were watching the races the other day at Bristol down here, and that dog was so locked in. That dog was so locked in to that race. It was just sitting there watching it. And we thought, you know what? Bristol. That sounds like a pretty good name. What do you think? Bristol, good name? No?
Yeah.
You know, our family, I don't know if people know this about my daughter. I've got a daughter. Now, don't hate on me when I say this, all right? But I've got a daughter that we named Victoria Lane for Victory Lane. How messed up are you if you name your kid after Victory Lane, Austin? Is that bad or is that good? You tell me.
I don't know. I guess it just makes you passionate about
racing.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's no different than us naming pets after Hoosier, you know, Bristol or
right
Max. I mean, it's just so different than doing that.
Well, it's kind of in the same thing, but we didn't know what to name the little old dog, so we decided, because she was watching the race and just really watching the race, just staring at the TV, we thought we'd go ahead and name her Bristol, and that she's the new mascot around here. So anyway, hey, have you No, I brought this up yesterday, and I want some of the people to chime in. Now, I know Austin hasn't watched this movie because he doesn't watch movies. Do you ever watch a movie, Austin? Have you ever watched a movie? Just give me a little bit of insight.
Have I watched movies? I have. I watch them all the time? No, the last movie I watched, it was this past winter, I think it was. What's the movie with the blind guy, like in like the post like apocalyptic world?
You know,
it's The Book of Eli, is what it is.
You know what's
the last movie I watched.
What's funny is, Austin, when it comes to movies, I have a hard time watching movies that I can't. They've got to be somewhat. It could happen in real life in order for me to watch them. Right? If it's fiction and outer space and aliens and all that stuff, I just can't get into it, man. I just can't get into it. But I watched a movie the other night, and I want some people to chime in here and tell me what they thought of the movie. I watched the movie Elvis the other night. Hey, is that dog gnawing on that table down there, Austin? Can you see that?
Yeah, I can use camera two to keep an eye on her, but she's laying down now.
All right, okay, good enough. Anyway, long story short, the movie Elvis. I'm not sure I've seen a better movie produced about somebody's life than that movie about Elvis. Has anybody else watched that movie? Marie, have you watched the movie Elvis yet? How about you, Chuck? Caleb? Pete? How about you guys? Have you watched the movie Elvis yet? Man, I just thought it was a great, great movie. I've watched half of it, and I loved it so far, even for being filmed in Australia. Was it filmed in Australia? I didn't know that. You know, it's really, you know, is it more, let me ask you, people out there, is it more about Colonel Parker or is it more about Elvis? That's the question. You know, that was funny. We were talking about it as we were watching it, and Deidre said that she thought it was more about Colonel Parker than it was about Elvis. But I think it's the combination of the two together. You know who Colonel Tom Parker was? You know, he was his manager. Did you know that?
Nope.
Yeah.
The only thing I know about Elvis is he was a singer, and he died like in 74.
77.
I was close.
August 16th, 1977. I remember the day. But I'm telling you, I just thought it was a great, great movie. And were people that watched the movie Elvis, did the people buy into the guy that was playing Elvis? Did he look enough like Elvis for you to enjoy the movie? Because I thought he did a pretty good job portraying Elvis Anybody else out there? We watched it. We went and rented a Redbox. You know, you can rent the movie online, and it costs you about $14. But if you go to Redbox, it costs you about $2.50, and you get it for a couple days. So that's what we did. Anyway, I thought it was a really good movie. And here's another question I want to ask some of the people that are out there on the East Coast that listen to us. I want to know how many of you people out there that are watching the – he did a great job portraying Elvis. I thought he did too, Steve, actually. How many of the people on the East Coast are Buffalo Bill fans? Because the Buffalo Bills put it on the Titans last night, didn't they? Now, I don't know, like me, there's only two things, there's three things I really care about. Racing's first, music second, Kansas City Chiefs third. Marie said, yuck. You don't like the Buffalo Bills? Marie, who's your team? Do you have a team out there? Let me know who your favorite NFL team is on here. She said, I'm a diehard KC. No way. Really? Is that because you like Patrick Mahomes? Would that be the reason why, Marie? He's pretty good, right? I just hope the heck that we beat Buffalo when we play him here in about 4 weeks. Yeah. That's crazy. Marie, a Chiefs fan. God bless you, Marie. Now I know your stock is just really rising up today. All right, let's talk a little bit about racing that happened last night. Shane Clanton, he picked up the win at Kokomo last night in the XR Super Dirt Nationals, they're calling that. They're calling that the Dirt Nationals at Kokomo. What do you think about that being called the Dirt Nationals? First of all, that race was supposed to happen down at Texas Motor Speedway, right, Austin? Give us a little explanation why that didn't happen.
Yeah, from what I remember, then this was announced, you know, a handful of months ago, but
yep.
Barry Braun and the XR, you know, events team did a dirt sample from the dirt track at Texas, and I guess the results, I don't know what they're looking at when they do a dirt sample. But some of the components in the dirt would not be suitable for good, you know, racing. So they had to cancel the events and move them to Kokomo, who actually really ended up taking it. And it was unannounced there for quite some time. And what they're going to do at Texas, I believe, is they're going to bring in new dirt and try and get rid of some of the older dirt and bring in some new dirt so they can have more events there and put on better racing. Like, you know, we've seen, you know, plenty of sprint car races there in the past that just suck. Take a rubber, track slick. I mean, the track's really nice. The layout and the shape of it.
The facility is awesome.
And yeah, the facility too. So it's all, it's just like, you know, Charlotte down there, the dirt track of Charlotte. You know, it's almost the same thing, but just in Texas. So
right.
It'd be nice if they can get, you know, some dirt in there and make it, you know, good. I think the racing would be excellent. We saw this happen at the dirt track of Charlotte maybe 2 or 3 years ago. It might have been for the World Finals. They brought some new dirt in, and the track just wouldn't, like, you could water it, but it wouldn't hold water, like, in the dirt. It would soak right through it to, like, the bottom layer, and
yep.
The track was constantly dusty. You couldn't see. It was just, the racing wasn't very good. So that was the first time I heard about them doing track samples, and, you know, some element was kind of low in the dirt, and they came in there and added that element to the dirt, and now we have good racing back at Charlotte. So it's cool that we're seeing, you know, more promoters and owners and series. It's only kind of, you know, two right now, but trying to invest money into having a good product and, you know, investing in and what, you know, pays your bills.
Yeah, no doubt. So they moved that race to Kokomo. They call it the Dirt Nationals there. Last night it paid $20,000 to win. Shane Clanton came out on top. We watched the race here just a little bit ago. Were you surprised that Tyler Erb kept running the bottom down in three and four the way he was? He'd rip the top and grind that right rear quarter panel on the wall. I don't know how many times he hit the wall with that right rear quarter panel, Tyler Erb. But I was a little shocked that he'd rip the top in one and two, and then he'd go to the bottom in three and four. Should he have tried something a little bit different, you think?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to say if you're not in, you know, the driver's seat.
Right.
But, you know, from I haven't been to Kokomo yet in person, but from, you know, the laser scan on iRacing and watching plenty of races there, it looks like, you know, one and two is a little narrower than three and four is. So is the top, you know, the top of the cushion wasn't but too far off the wall in three and four. So, and there was a little bit of moisture from the bottom. So Erb, you know, just thought that, you know, if he can carry his momentum off the cushion and stick the car on the bottom and catch some of the moisture in it, the moisture on the bottom, you know, kind of got moved up and made,
right,
you know, a dirty patch kind of through the middle of the corner. You know, if he could catch that and get a good run off the corner where he's, instead of being on the top where he's a little farther around and maybe a little slicker, he might have a shot at getting some momentum into one, run the curb, build a ton of momentum, and keep that cycle up and eventually run him down, which he did. You know, but he just got the lap traffic and you know,
that was his only shot.
It was his only shot, and you know, he had two lap cars there, and he really couldn't. They were both in his lane, and he had to run the top to get by him.
He couldn't squeeze through there.
Yeah, right. And he needed to slide Shane, but if he would have slid Shane, he would have shoved the spoiler through his door and probably crashed both of them. So
yeah, no doubt.
Just it's just short and just tight, you know, bull ring quarter mile racing.
Yeah.
For you.
You know, it was pretty good racing at the beginning there. Tyler Erb, Shane Clanton, Jimmy Owens, and Tim McCready, who blew up at Knoxville, they had a nice little race going at the start of the race. And then towards the end of the race, there was a nice little race between Clanton, Jimmy Owens, and Turbo. Did you feel like Jimmy Owens had a shot there at the end?
No,
I didn't feel like it.
No,
Jimmy
never
felt like he
had
the speed, did he?
Jimmy wouldn't leave the bottom, and you needed to run the top into one and two. And, you know, Kokomo puts on really good racing for sprint cars. It's what they have is, you know, working great for them. And I think they could, if they have more late model races there, they can make it really good. But I just, the way the track is, it's really not that suitable, I guess, or good for late models. And it's just so wide, so you can carry so much momentum on the top, and there wasn't a whole lot of moisture on the bottom, and you couldn't keep up the same, you couldn't match the same pace, I felt like. And that's, you know, we saw that with Shane slowly committed to the top and Jimmy on the bottom. It just, look how much faster the top was. So it was, you're gonna have to leave at some point and either do what Erb was doing or just do what Clanton was doing.
Yep.
And run the top all the way around.
Yeah, I think the guy that was probably the most disappointed last night was Brandon Overton. He started on the pole. Where did he end up running? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th. Start on the pole and you run 9th. That's not a good night for you, is it?
No, I wouldn't say so. I'd be disappointed in that. But, you know, I think this might be one of the first times they've ever had, you know, in the recent years, late models at Kokomo. So, you know, Overton's really kind of known for, you know, I feel like half-mile tracks with a ton of momentum and speed, like in Eldora, Knoxville, and a couple places out on the East Coast. But, yeah, I think it's just, you know, a factor of going to a track for the first time and not really having any notes. And, you know, just if we see that performance again tonight, we'll know it's something other than, you know, it's his first, you know, race at Kokomo.
Yeah, Brandon Shepherd, he started 16th. He ended up running 4th. That was a pretty good run for him to come through that field. Because, listen, did you feel like, let me just ask you this, is Kokomo more designed for sprint cars versus late models? Because I did see some three-wide racing there a couple times last night when I was watching that race. But there was no way they were going to go four wide there. Is that racetrack more suited for sprint cars than it is late models, you think, Austin?
Yeah, because look at their weekly program, and they do run some sheet metal stuff on the weekly basis. It's like maybe street stocks and
modified
or something like that. I know it's kind of in the UMP country, you know, or UMP sanctioned area.
I think that's the modifieds they ran last night were UMP.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to look at the modified race or my race pass on. I just checked on the supers, but you know, they have a really good program for sprint car racing, and they perfected it. And if they want, I think Kokomo could be a really good super track, but it's just going to take time and races to get it good. And that's just, you know, what do they need out of the track to put on, you know, good side-by-side racing.
Right. Tyler Nicely was the winner in the dirt car UMP modifieds last night. Guess who ran second last night with the modifieds? David Strimmy. He's turned out to be a pretty good modified driver, hadn't he?
Yeah, he's not too bad. You always see his name kind of pop up down there at the Dirt Car Nationals at Fallujah, you know, in February. So yeah, he's done pretty well. I don't keep up with UMP a whole lot, with it not really being much around here, but you do see some big events that they have, and his name's always, you know, kind of in the top five, top ten area. So it's cool to see him have some success again.
Isn't it funny how UMP is really popular over there in St. Louis and the Illinois area, and it hasn't branched out over to this area of Missouri yet? Isn't that kind of funny? You don't think it will?
Never happen.
Why is that?
It's just this area has always been, I guess, USRA, IMCA, and that's just the trend and just where, you know, if you look at USMCS's schedule, I mean, I can't go out there and say if it will or won't happen. I'm not really involved with modified racing that much. But, you know, just from an outsider kind of looking in, it's just always been you know, USMCS sanctioned rules. And USMCS is solely really a Midwest series. So it would make sense to have series and tracks and cars in that area to come fill your fields. I mean, it wouldn't make sense to have like two UMP tracks and those guys can't race anywhere but those two UMP tracks, or you're going to tow 6 to 8 hours to Illinois and Indiana to run weekly.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it was a pretty darn good race last night. And tonight, how much are they racing for tonight? If I'm not mistaken, I think I retweeted that. Let me go to my profile here. And I believe they're racing for tonight. They are racing for, let me get down to it. What the heck did I do with that? I thought I retweeted it. But they're racing for bigger money tonight, though, right, Austin?
For the Supers?
Yeah.
I think it should pay like $40,000 to win.
Yeah, I think
it's usually 20 and 40 for Super Show, for the XR shows.
Yeah. So it'd be pretty good. You can watch it on Racer XR if you want to watch it tonight. I'm going to watch it. It's pretty good racing. So if you get a chance to purchase that tonight, check it out. It's going to be pretty good action. We're going to have Brian Hobart. He's going to join us here in just a moment on the show. We're going to wrap up and put a bow on the Jesse Hockett, Daniel McMillan Memorial that we had down at Lucas Oil Speedway last weekend. We tried to get a hold of Chase Randall and have him on the show, but he was busy today. So who better to have on than the voice of the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour, Brian Hobart. He joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be back with more right here on Mostly Motorsports. Brian Hobart joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Joining us now is the voice of the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. Brian Holbert joins us. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
You sitting in your office right now?
No, they haven't kicked me out yet, so.
They haven't kicked you out yet? How's things going down there in the Lucas Oil ASCS office right now? Everything going good?
Shootout entries.
Yeah. Hey, before we get into Jesse Hockett, Daniel McMillan Memorial, let us know the cancellation this weekend. There was rumblings of that happening, wasn't there?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Just, you know, sometimes things just don't work out.
Yeah. It's just the way it is sometimes, isn't it, Brian? You can't always control the promoters, right?
You can't control factors outside of, you just can't control all the factors,
right,
when it comes down to. And I mean, is what it is. Luckily, you know, we're able to kind of work together and we'll try again next year.
Brian, it was such a great weekend. Was that a record car count that we had this year? down at the Hockett with the wing cars, was that a record amount of cars that we had this year? I can't remember what the number is, to be honest.
We've had close to that before, and I'd have to go back and look off the top of my head. I can't recall. But, I mean, we've had, just over the last few years, it seems like it just gets more and more and more. And, you know, this year was 78 cars, and, you know, we changed the format up and got rid of the qualifiers, which essentially was a dual heat format, went to qualifying, and, you know, that alone sped up the show tremendously to where, you know, before we were racing to, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, we were done.
Yeah.
You know, first night at 10:45, second night, we had, you know, a couple red flags and, you know, things like that. We're closer at 11 than Saturday. It gave us time to be able to work the track and get it where we weren't, you know, expending tires. So, you know, we got done a little closer to midnight, but the track was phenomenal. It was a good race.
Yep.
You had, you know, your winner won from eighth. I mean, I don't know how much more you could ask for.
Right, no doubt about it. I've got to compliment everybody that put the effort in to get these races over earlier this year. It was so much better this year than it has been in years past. Not those late nights, the 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I think when I stepped in my motorhome on Thursday night, it was 11 o'clock when I got in my motorhome and the races were over. So it was fantastic what they did this year, the way they turned around the track, the way they were really on top of making sure not running too late. So some of the fans that wanted to stay there and watch the races, they could stay there without having to think about, oh my gosh, it's getting late, I got to go home. It was really good.
That was our biggest goal this year is, you know, we still want to put on a great race, but we want to be done at a decent time. And that's been really the goal of the series for the entire year. And that's something that Terry's really, you know, not running last in the program. We're running, you know, first or second at pretty much every track we go to for the most part. And, you know, the promoters have been great to work with, and, you know, they understand it's a bigger show and the fans are there because of the sprint cars. And we want to make sure that, one, the fans get a good show for what they're paying for, and two, the teams are able to have a track they can actually race on. And, you know, like Speed Week's a perfect example. I can't think of a night that we were actually racing past 10:30.
Right.
The entire time.
Yeah.
And that makes such a huge difference, especially at the end of that, where you're either just dragging so bad you can't hardly stay awake, versus we got done this year. Even with the last two getting rained out, it's still that continuous string of racing. When you're done at 10:30 versus midnight or 1 o'clock, it makes a big difference.
Oh, no doubt about it. So Wayne Johnson, a two-time winner of the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial, he had to earn it. I got to ask you, do you think Blake might have had a better chance to compete with Wayne if that spark plug wire didn't come off one of the spark plugs? Do you think he might have had a shot at him?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if the track was more slicked off, I'd say, you know, maybe it could have been kind of a help to him, because we've seen that before where,
right,
you know, a guy might actually lose a cylinder, and if it's not enough to be detrimental to the way the car runs, you've actually seen him pick up speed because they're not able to spin the tires. But, you know, with the bottom staying as good as it did, you know, there was, unless Wayne just went in and screwed up, I don't think that was going to be a shot for Blake. Now, if he had all eight cylinders, the way his car was rotating and the way it was running,
right?
Yeah, I think he could have been a challenger.
Yeah, I do too. And Scott Boguski kind of made a run right there at the end of the race, didn't he?
That last restart, he went in there and he threaded the needle on the slower cars and on Sam. And I had to wonder if maybe he had found something, maybe, you know, kind of through the middle there, and it just turned out, I mean, he timed it just right, and then find out later that Sam was dealing with a setup issue on his car where his right rear was actually starting to go down. And, you know, we saw where Westbrook, his right rear did go down and ended up sailing him into the fence. But, you know, that's why Sam backed up a little bit there, because the car was just getting unmanageable for him. But, you know, Boguski originally was supposed to run with us this year, had the opportunity to go race for Snow Racing on the All-Stars. Unfortunately, that deal,
right,
you know, kind of came apart for him. So he's been racing a little closer to Knoxville. Of course, he, you know, works up at Ostrich during the week and, you know, just kind of pick and choosing his schedule. And, you know, hopefully we see him back out on the tour, you know, in the next couple of years, because he's fun to have on the road. And not only that, he's a hell of a talent. And
yeah,
he proved that, you know, Saturday night, where he came up just shy of racing his way in. He got himself in through the qualifier and then just drove up through there.
You know, when Sam got in the lead, I think he only led four laps, if I'm not mistaken. But I thought the party was over. Usually when Sam gets the lead, it's usually lights out for everybody else, isn't it?
It is, and I figured, you know, we're going to, unless something just crazy happens, like, you know, normally when him or Dylan get at the front of the field with the, one, just their talent behind the wheel, and two, with the level of equipment that they have at their disposal, I mean, it's going to be tough to beat them. And, yeah. You know, it was just, again, that freak deal where, you know, right rear started going away on him, and Wayne was golden all weekend. I mean, he ran good all three nights. He put himself in a good position. And he was there when he needed to be.
Yeah. You know, I want to give a shout out, and he deserves it so much. Landon Crawley, he started 20th and he ended up running 8th. And I don't remember where he started deep in the field on his qualifying or the first night that he ran or the night before, and he ran 4th. I think Landon Crawley, once his dad retires and becomes a full-time crew chief for Landon, I think he shows a lot of promise, don't you?
Remember, he ran 4th on his qualifying night. He almost had a podium finish, if not better.
Right.
He spun. He was the first caution in that main event. He actually spun at the bottom of 3 and 4, went all the way to the back, and drove it back through the field.
Yeah.
And I feel like when he drove by his dad in that heat race, and you know, and Scotty kind of touched on it, you know, people are going to try to say your dad let you do that. And Landon said, yeah, they're going to say it, but it isn't true.
No way.
You know, and if anybody knows Tim,
right,
there is not you go head bone in his body. That guy is competitive to a fault.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a neat moment to see that, because, you know, he found a line, he used it, he was consistent. And I feel like you saw Landon become a sprint car driver because he showed patience that he otherwise hadn't shown in running the bottom of the racetrack. And that's not to take a stab at him or say something bad about his progression.
Right.
But we see it a lot where in the younger drivers, it's kind of a balls out feel of everything, where it's all the way up to the wall on the cushion. And he didn't do that. He went to the bottom, he rotated when he needed to, and he was patient. And that shows a lot of maturity in that 14-year-old.
He had a couple bad races when they had to replace that down tube on that car. That car just didn't work after they did that. And he struggled there for a few races. But now he's got this newer car that he's running, and it seems like it's showing a lot of promise. I got to believe that if Landon runs with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour next year, I think he has a chance to run in the top 5 in points. Would you agree with that?
You know, it goes back to everybody that comes out here for the first year. I mean, and you see it with Jason Martin. I mean, he is far from a rookie, but he's even struggled running on the road this year. And he's one that if he runs next year, he's going to be a championship contender. I feel like Landon, he's going to be up there, and he's going to get those runs and get those wins, and you know, it's going to start to come in place for them. And we've seen that with a lot of these young drivers over the years, where they'll come out and they'll struggle, and they'll finally have that breakout moment, and everything kind of clicks. I mean, look how long it took Blake when he got in a sprint car in 2012 and 2013.
It took a while.
He finally got a win with the national tour, and now he's on the cusp of backing up a championship.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's talk a little bit about the points right now. I think Blake had an 81-point lead going into the weekend. He's got a 101-point lead right now. I know you remember this, but you remember when Shane Stewart won the championship over Johnny Herrera by 1 point? There was only 4 races left in the season. He was 137 points out of the lead. He made up 136 of those points, lost the championship by 1 point. It can be done. Can it, Brian?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. I mean, and that's where everybody's looking at it going, oh, man, you know, Blake's got it. And talking to Wayne at one point, he said, you know, Blake's consistent, and that's what you need to do to win championships. Mm-hmm. So that's how you win championships. You know, and that's why Wayne's in the hunt right now, is he's been consistent. The difference is where Wayne has had one or two, you know, bad nights, has crashed in Joaquin and things like that.
Right.
Knock on wood, Blake hasn't had that issue this year. So he's been able to really kind of stay out front. But like Wayne said, it'll take one night, and that'll change the whole script. And we've seen that, especially going into the last few races of the season. You mentioned Shane and Johnny and that run to the championship. You know, you can point to whenever Jason won and Loyette and Jeff and everybody was all over him there.
Right.
You know, going into Kokopa. And it came down to where, you know, he won the championship and they raised their hand and said, we want his engine checked. And it wasn't a deal out of spite or anything like that. It's the difference between first and second and a paycheck in the off season.
Well, and if you remember right, that year, Jason didn't win a race until we got to Kokopa, and he won one race that entire season, which was so non-typical of Jason, right? Because he was so dominant in the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour when he was there.
And that's when he was on the Roush Yates program. They were trying that Ford engine out. There was a lot of testing and tuning going on there. And, yeah, you're right. It was odd to get all the way down the last weekend. But, again, consistency. That's what had him at the front of the field. He was consistent with top fives, top tens, podium runs almost every weekend versus where you'd have Brad or Jeff and they'd all, you know, they'd have two or three good runs and then have a DNF or two or three good runs and, you know, something would happen. They'd get spun or an engine would expire or something.
Yeah.
And that, you know, again, that's not saying they did anything wrong. It's just the way it played out.
Yeah. And for Loyette that year, the wheels just came off of his deal at the end of the year. And we've seen that a couple times, though, haven't we, Brian, over the years?
And we've seen it in all disciplines. I mean, we've seen it from micros to sprint cars, modifieds, and everything in between.
Yeah, no doubt
about it. You can have everything going in the right direction, and fate will step in and go, no.
Yeah. I got to believe it's right. It's come down to just Wayne and Blake for the championship. Matt's 173 points out. That's a little bit of a stretch for him, isn't it?
It's a little bit of a stretch, but it's not inconceivable.
Yeah, no doubt. How many points can a driver make? Is it 65 points in one night, Brian?
The maximum a driver can make up with everybody present would be 100. So the worst-case scenario on that would be that you go out to hot lap and you junk a car and you cannot race for the rest of the night.
Oh, I
got you. So you would get 50 show-up points.
Mm.
And the person that's chasing you would have to win.
Right.
So there's your 100 points. But if, you know, like they win and you and at least run a B main, well, that's 65 to 150.
Yeah. How would you assess this last weekend down at the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial? Were people satisfied? How did you feel when you left there? The pulse of the people that watched the races. I think Saturday night everybody was thrilled, right?
I think overall it was a good weekend. I mean, there's always room for improvement. We're always looking at ways to improve the program and, you know, looking to next year and saying, okay, what do we need to do to make it better, to, you know, make it even more timely and, you know, help with the track and everything else. Because that was the biggest, you know, kind of struggle we had was, you know, the track kind of going away on us Thursday and Friday. And it's just, you know, track prep is such an art.
Yeah,
and it's such a science all wrapped in one that, you know, you may think you're good to go going in and realize kind of like, you know, what we did is it just didn't have quite enough moisture as a base and it was a little hard packed. And, you know, we came back Friday and the biggest thing Terry requested was let us roll the track in instead of the water truck. And that made a huge difference on Friday, you know, and it made a huge difference on Saturday, too. And it's little things like that. But, you know, I'm certainly not going to stand there and try to knock the guy that was doing the track because that is hard, hard work. That's the toughest guessing game there is in motorsports.
No doubt about it.
Prepping a dirt track.
No doubt about it. I want to talk a little bit about the 35th annual Comp Cam Short Track Nationals that's going to be taking place down at I-30 Speedway. You know, the rumors are out there, right? I mean, we hear them. And
well,
there hasn't been an announcement. There hasn't been
Tracy
an announcement.
Tracy hasn't said anything,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. But that would be sad to see that old racetrack go away, wouldn't it?
It's sad to see any track go away, especially somewhere, you know, with that kind of history. You know, and of course, you know, how many years has the rumor been that Devil's Bowl was done?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, you know, the only track that we can confirm, they're leaving, and it's because they said it is I-80.
Right, yeah.
You know, but it hasn't come out of Tracy's mouth, and it hasn't been posted on her website. So it's, you know,
it's
at
just
this point,
a rumor.
I feel like it's everybody's kind of put the cart ahead of the horse. And, you know, if that's the case and that's what happens, good for her. She's earned it.
You know, I wouldn't blame her a bit, because this industry is kind of tough right now, isn't it, Brian? I mean, in the promoting game, it's not as easy as it once was back like in the 90s or the early 2000s or the 80s. It's not the same.
I don't think there's ever been a time when it was easy. It's just the world has changed, the attitude has changed, technology's changed, and, you know, a lot of tracks have been able to adapt to it. There's some that, you know, have struggled a little bit, mm-hmm. but a lot of it comes down to just the attitude and the treatment a lot of times. It's you know, it goes back to watching somebody yell at the waitress when it wasn't their fault.
Right, right.
You know, I see so much of that going on in this world, whether it's at the racetrack or anything like that, that eventually it just gets to a point where you just don't want to be there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The 49th annual Winter Nationals is going to be taking place down at Devil's Bowl Speedway after the Short Track Nationals. This has always been one of the marquee events on the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour schedule, right?
Oh, yeah. I feel like anytime you go to Devil's Bowl, it is a marquee event just because, I mean, the history and everything that surrounds that place. And, you know, Lanny Ross, Martin, everybody down there, they've really taken it on and they've done a great job. And, you know, looking forward to getting down there for that. And, you know, that weekend has a lot of meaning for racers and for really everybody involved from the series on down.
Yeah. And I think it's a great place to wrap up the season down at Creek County in Sepulpa. I think that's a great place to bring it in. It's short track racing at its best. I don't know if there's another racetrack that puts on such great racing as Creek County. It's such a great little racetrack.
When Creek County is right, Creek County is probably some of the best racing you'll ever see. And, you know, we had our Sooner show there a few weeks back, and it was incredible to watch. You know, the way Seth had to work his way up through the field and everything, and we've seen him and Blake have some ferocious battles. You know, we saw Wayne go in there earlier this year at the Mickey Walker, and it was just an awesome racetrack. So, you know, they've done some changes to it. They've made some upgrades, the lighting and everything. You can actually see turns 3 and 4 now.
Mm.
You know, they've put in LED lights, and it's really, really improved the racetrack. And I know they've recut 1 and 2 a little bit, where before, you know, it was really kind of tough to get around the top of 1 and 2. Now they've got it where you can get in and actually run through 1 and 2 and slide and diamond and do what you need to do there. You know, and not only that, it's Fuzzy's fall flank. And that's, I feel like with everything, with the series, the first year that Terry's had the series and the legacy and the history that the Hans had with it, and of course, being the owners of Creek County Speedway, it's a nice way to honor her. And it's a great place to really end this first season with all the change that's happened.
Yeah, I miss Fuzzy so much. I know everybody does as well. So let's remind everybody, if you want to watch the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour, you can do that on Flow Racing. That's Race on Texas through Flow Racing. They do such a great job over there with the broadcast. How would you assess the season so far, Brian, with the change of the format? Is it two thumbs up with you?
It's definitely a thumbs up. I mean, there's always room for improvement, and that's what we're looking at next year is, you know, how do we take it and make it better? And in every format, there's going to be a flaw somewhere. Every format, there's going to be, you know, one thing that maybe doesn't work for everybody, and that's what we've seen this year. But we also realize that when you try to handicap one thing, you create two other problems.
Right.
So, you know, that's where we're really sitting down and looking at, okay, you know, how do we make it better for next year? But racing-wise, I think it's made the racing better. It's taken the luck of the draw out of the situation where you don't end up in a heat race that, you know, you drew the third row outside, but the guy on the pole is a year deep in micro racing and decides he wants to run sprint cars.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not taking a stab at anybody by saying that.
I got you.
Just typically that's kind of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made the heat races and the racing, I feel, a lot more fair, where the drivers can go out and they decide where they're going to line up at. It's in their hands. They may have drawn heat too, but it's their place to go out there and put themselves in that position to be able to move forward and make the show. And we've seen a lot of parity this year. We've seen, you know, first-time winners this year.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of first-time A-feature starters this year. So it's definitely worked, and I feel like it's taken the series in a direction that it needed to go.
Yeah. What do you think about the Chili Bowl? How's things going with the ticket sales and everything down there right now?
What tickets?
No tickets available.
There are scattered single seats. And when I say scattered, I mean like section A to section C to section double D to section FF. Like there's no pairs available for the entire week. Now, Monday and Tuesday, you can buy a ticket by the fistful, but that's been the case for, you know, the last how many years.
Right.
You know, the biggest thing before that is getting ready for the shootout. In 30 minutes last night, we had almost 150 entries.
No kidding.
So, and, you know, and apologies to anybody who's trying to enter today. Everything worked. Everything was good. And then all of a sudden, the you know, talk about the wheels falling off earlier. That's kind of what's happened. We've had an issue with our merchant service company that actually processes all the cards. And we don't know if their system went down or what, but all of a sudden this morning, like everything just came to a grinding halt. So we apologize for that. We're trying to get that fixed.
Yeah. Brian, we always appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. I can't thank you enough for doing so at the last minute. Thank you so much for being on the show. We'll talk to you down the road. We'll wrap up the season when it's all over. How about that?
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right. There you have it. Brian Hobert joining us. We're going to take a break. We're going to wrap up the show when we come back. You're watching Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Man, I'm looking forward to tonight's action at Kokomo. I don't know if you know this, but it pays $40,000 to win tonight. It paid $20,000 last night. It paid $10,000 for second last night, $7,000 for third, $6,000 for fourth, and $5,500 for fifth last night. Tonight, $40,000 to win, $20,000 for second, $12,500 for third, $8,500 for fourth, and $6,500 for fifth. And if you run last, 24th tonight, you make $2,500. That's pretty damn good money, isn't it, there, Austin? Austin,
I was reading something. It's pretty good money. We saw that kind of the same payout at Knoxville last week. Actually, 2 days ago, I think I paid $2,500 to start and like maybe $500 to start on the prelim night. So, I know my friends that have their late model. You know, Mike Mines and Aaron Morant. They came back home with a good payday. For going up there and making the shows all three nights. And
how much money they make up there, do you know?
I think he should make around $3,500 to $4,000. So really
would
good.
That pay the bill?
I don't know what it costs to go drop the door on a late model race, but it definitely helps. It's just goes back to late model racing. Just has so much money in it right now. It's just, as a sprint car guy, we just kind of sit here and look at it, and you just get jealous.
Put on camera two up there where you see all the TVs. I'm telling you, this is one of my favorite interviews of all time with Scotty Cook and Sammy Swindell down at Devil's Bowl. I'm not going to point fingers at who was the blame, but Sammy was a little ticked off after that one. You remember that race, Austin?
I do. Sammy was mad at himself.
Because he kind of brought that on a little bit, didn't he?
Sammy did it to himself. I mean, he just drove over the left front of Justin Zimmerman. But
yeah. Hey, if you were a modified driver tonight, they're only paying $1,500 to win. Would you be a little ticked off about that? Yes or no?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person.
Why?
I don't
have opinions.
I get that. I can't tell you if that's a good payday or not, because I don't I'm not a modified guy.
$1,500 to win, $750 for second, $550.
I know they pay $1,000 to win around here on a weekly basis, so sure, that's a good payday.
I guess, right? Maybe they have a cap on how much they can pay to win.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you looking forward to tonight's race? Do you think that's going to be a good race over there at Kokomo?
Yeah, it should be better than last night. It'll be interesting to see what gets changed on the track and what adjustments they make from night one to night two and see if late models are worthy of being back there next year.
Yeah. I'm not sure they'll be back there next year because they might take it back down to Texas. Would you think they might do that?
That, or they make another event. I just don't. That's a sprint car track to me. Leave sprint cars on it. But, I mean, if the racing is good tonight and it you know, it shows that it can be a really good show, then okay, we can bring them back. But I think you just leave sprint cars on it and take the late models back to Texas.
Yeah. We're 1 week away from another $10,000 to win race at Wayne County Speedway. That's going to be on Tuesday, September 25th. $32,000 to win. High limit race. What do you think about that race there, Austin?
Well, that should be pretty good. I know Sheld Honschel, I think, has a hand in that event. And that's, you know, right on their way to Pennsylvania. You have the Champion Oil National Open, you know, that weekend on a Friday and Saturday. And then I think you hit a couple, you know, Pennsylvania tracks before they get before they come back to the Midwest and run I-80 in Lakeside, and then go straight down to the World Finals. And there might be a couple events in between there that I didn't mention. But yeah, $75,000, you know, on top of if you win that high limit race, $100,000 weekend does not sound too bad to me.
Right. The Durst family has done it again. They said on their Twitter account, they've added another $10,000 to the winner of next week's race. So that it was supposed to pay $22,000 to win, but the Durst family has stepped up and thrown another $10,000 at it. It's going to pay $32,000 to win. That is a lot of money.
Yeah, it just shows the, you know, the impact that Kyle Larson has on events. You know, the Durst family has been supporters of sprint car racing in general for quite some time, and especially Kyle Larson's program, and you know, with his relationship with them and a lot of other companies too. It's cool that, and exciting for drivers to see that, you know, his name and you know, reputation is benefiting, you know, the guys that are out on the road all the time, and that he still cares about sprint car racing. We all know he'll never differ from that, and he always will. But you know, you see some guys that leave their roots and don't do anything to help it grow. So it's cool that, you know, this deal's getting some traction and hopefully can, you know, be a big deal next year.
Yeah. The fans out there, are they okay with us talking? We talk a lot about sprint car racing and late model racing. Is everybody cool with that? It seems like people are starting to we're starting to get a good amount of downloads every day, aren't we, Austin? Yeah. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, that's a good number.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Anyway, well, we appreciate everybody tuning in. Tomorrow, we will have Steve Post on with us tomorrow. And who knows? Who else? We might get a second guest with it. So we'll just have to see how it goes. We'll figure it out between now and tomorrow. We'll get it all figured out. And hopefully you'll join us here on Mostly Motorsports. We thank everybody that tunes in every day. We appreciate you guys so much. You have no idea to the loyal followers that we have that watch this show every day. We can't thank you enough. You know who you are, and we won't mention everybody's name, but we can't thank you enough for joining us each and every day. And the people that download the podcast, thank you so much. Our number is really starting to pick up on the download side of things, so we want to thank you guys as well. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor, saying we'll see you tomorrow right here. Steve Post tomorrow on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.